Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Monday. This is one of the only times we have ever recorded our Monday show on Monday.
Yeah.
It's the morning. It's early.
Good morning.
It's early, everybody. It's Monday. You're listening to this on Monday. Usually we're like recording it the day before, but we are here. We had a little mishap yesterday.
Yeah, we
had some technical difficulties.
We did.
Which...
not my fault.
No. No one's fault. It was from all ends.
It was
difficulties on all ends.
And out of our hands, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
So after 5 hours...
We did everything we could.
We gave up. We said, let's just record this in the morning.
Yeah.
We can't...
And you know what?
We can't do this anymore.
I'm also glad we did, because our plan would have been to record in the afternoon and then watch the Grammys and then try and do a Grammy segment afterwards. But the Grammys ended at 11:45, so I'm pretty glad that we also waited the morning, because I just feel like we are going to be able to talk about the Grammys with a much clearer head than we would if we talked about it at midnight on Sunday nights.
Right. Recording at midnight on any night is hard for the brain.
It's good because it comes out right away, but sometimes I listen back and I'm like, that's just not how I feel about this.
The royal thing, everyone was like, what the hell was wrong with you, Rhea? Like, I was like, it was midnight.
I think it was good when we did The Bachelor, because you were just like in that mind.
Yeah, it was funny. Yes. It was fun. But we were like drinking at the office and you know, we were at the office, but it's like when we
that was
do
like
it
a weekly
homes,
thing. So it was, we were consistent.
We knew we had it.
Yeah.
But when we're at our homes, in the comfort of our own homes, and recording over the computer, like, it just, the vibe is not the same. But we're here. We're in the office right now. We're going to get into everything. I had so many things that I wanted to talk about in the intro.
Yesterday?
I feel like I could save them, because I feel like this episode's important. Because the Grammys really were good.
Yeah.
The Grammys were good.
No, that's what I said to Noah when he walked in. I was like, I had pretty low expectations, and it was a really well-done show.
I think by far the best award show
I've watched in a while, like
a
long
time. Yeah.
I had the lowest of low expectations, and it was great.
It was
the
great.
The performance after performance.
Yeah.
People were actually there. You know, Beyonce and Jay-Z. What was that about? They were there. That was awesome. So we'll get all into that.
Yeah.
Oh, I did write something down.
What'd you write down?
Okay. So in my notes app this morning on my way here, I'm trying to do this now where write down
thoughts,
our thoughts.
Appear in your head.
Write them in the notes app. I think, okay, I won't read it word for word. I'll just explain.
Okay.
Do you think bleaching your hair is an actual addiction?
Is an addiction?
That gives you some sort of chemical feeling in your body.
Very possible.
I think
bleach,
so.
I mean, bleach is as chemical as it gets.
Right.
It's just like top of the line chemical.
Straight up, I think dyeing my hair black made me a depressed person. Because as soon as I bleached my hair, like one time, like ever since I dyed it, I haven't been upset at all. Like, it's so weird.
It's yeah. so weird how different I feel from when my hair was a different color. And I know that sounds kind of crazy.
But I don't know necessarily if that has to do with the physical act of bleaching. I just think it also had to do a little bit more with, like, your identity. Like, yourself. Because you've been blonde, you were blonde for so long that you know, you're blonde for that long, you see yourself as a blonde. Mm. And you went totally to the other side. Yeah. And while you did look fantastic, I think that looking in the mirror was kind of like a, wait, I don't know who this person is. Mm. And once you dyed it again, you started to feel a little bit more like yourself. You're like, okay, this is a little lighter. This is more me. This is more like closer to how I see myself. Like, I think the black hair just threw you off. Like, I think you just, not that, like, you just looked and was like, holy shit, like, why is my hair so dark?
Yeah, it's that. And also, I was thinking, I was like,
but for
I
sure you can bleach, be addicted. Yes, yes.
Maybe I was addicted to the bleach.
Look, I never dyed my hair until, just like maybe the past few years.
Until you met me?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. That's what it was. I never dyed it. But now that I do it, like, fairly consistently, yeah, I can't imagine not doing it.
Right?
Like, I'm at the point now where I used to, I get it because it gradually has gotten more and more for me. Like, I used to go maybe once a year, and I would get, like, some highlights, and then I would have no problem, like, letting it grow out for, like, I just didn't care. It kind of gave me the ombre look that was cool, so it was like, who cares? Like, I would just let it grow out anyway. And now, come like 4 months, it starts to grow out. I'm like, I gotta go back.
4 months is long.
Yeah.
You know, compared to the time other people are putting in.
The last time, between my last two was only 3 months. So my mom was like, isn't that so soon? I was like, Mom, my God, my hair's growing out. I have to go back.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. I'm locked in now.
Yeah. Every two, 3 months.
Yeah.
I'm going to get mine done again soon as well. Yeah. I've just fully accepted that. I don't know what that stage in my life was.
Yeah.
But
it was a stage.
We've moved past it.
Yep. Yep.
Like, bless, I was genuinely like, what the hell? Bless you. What the hell was going through my head? I have, like, tears coming from my eye right now thinking
you
about
it. You
do
a little
like,
bit.
Like, I'm like, what? It's crazy.
It's just a phase, Mom.
Exactly. Like, I seriously went through it. Like, I dyed my hair black.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Look, we do forget that.
I did need to save my hair, by the way. Yes, like, that was part of it for sure.
And
but,
it helped. It definitely helped.
But
there are some stages and phases of life that I feel like you have missed out on because of just, like, starting to work here so young. Mm-hmm. And, like, the bangs, bleach, like, whatever wild hair thing that you do to your hair in college at some point, like, I feel like that was you dyeing your hair black.
Yes. Yeah, I had to do something. Yeah. I've been here since, you know, the ripe age of 19. Yeah. Right. Yeah. When I turned 19, I was in here.
Yeah.
So I feel like I had a little,
it's fine.
I had a moment.
I had my maybe most expensive drunk purchase of all time this weekend.
What was it?
Potentially a new apartment.
Oh, drunk purchase? That was...
Oh, no. No, because this is the thing. I did not make a decision. I was still in between some spots. Joe and I were discussing it. Joe and I are moving in together. I saw some people a little nervous about the status moving out.
Yeah. Noah's blushing as well. We're all blushing.
It's not true.
Yeah, big news. But we were kind of like on the fence about where we wanted to be. And then Saturday night, Georgetown played in the Big East championship game. They won. And I was just so having a great time, but was drinking a decent amount. Mm-hmm. And I got home and was like, fuck it, I'm applying to this apartment. And Joe was asleep. Like, he like fell asleep when we got home. So I did this on my own. Didn't say anything. And in the morning I woke up and was like, oh my God, I applied to that apartment. and I rolled over and was like, Joe. And he's like, yeah. I was like, so you know the apartment that we really liked it, but it was still not fully.
Yeah.
We still not fully discussed it completely. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I applied to the apartment. The lady already responded to me, like, to send more of the information.
Well, did you get it?
Well, I now I'm in the process of being approved.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, so let's hope I get approved. With it? Yes. He was just like, oh, okay. He was like, well, we did like that one.
So, yeah, yeah. Well, you had to pick one eventually.
Yeah.
So maybe that was the time.
Exactly. And they, this building, they were flying like hotcakes. Like the one I really wanted was already gone.
Yeah.
At the day after I saw it. Like
now you really have to savor every morning you wake up with the bird because you're not going to have that.
No.
Aww.
No.
Yeah. No more window AC, I'm assuming.
Nope. Nope. Nice. I've never been more excited in my entire life.
I feel like you've been in the same apartment for so long.
Yeah.
That this is such an exciting thing.
I'm very excited. It's a complete 180. Like I said, I wanted to live in a completely different place than where I have lived before. Uptown, walk up.
What floor is it?
50.
50?
50. 50? 50? 50?
Fucking
what 50 the hell?
50 is like in the sky.
I'm in the sky. That's what I'm saying.
I live on the 15th floor and I've been like, oh, I live up high.
I'm going from a third floor walk up to the 50th floor, baby, going all the way up.
Can you see like the whole city from your
window? Yes. That's literally why I want this apartment.
I mean, that's crazy.
It's small. Like it's small because, you know, you want to pay for the view, you got to take a smaller apartment. And the broker I've been working with was basically like, look, I know you want a bigger spot, but if you want to see all of Manhattan, you're not going to be able to do both. I was like, that's fair. I definitely won't be able to do both. And just because of the market right now, if you're in the city, a lot of these buildings are giving away months free of rent. So right now, the building I'm applying to is 3 months free.
So on a 12-month lease. That works out perfect.
Yeah. So this is the thing, too. I normally would never be able to afford this apartment. But because of that, it is helping me. So Joe and I were kind of like, look, this is probably the only time we're ever going to live in a building like this / in a spot like this.
That's
Let's just fucking
true.
Do it for a year.
That's not true. Once you go there, you only go up.
I hope so.
Once you place yourself.
Watch, like, next year she's moving back into her old apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, you know what? I miss my...
Listen, once you place yourself into... Yeah. Well, some people fuck up their lives. So throw that out the window. Right. You're not going to do
Let's hope I don't fuck up my life.
You won't.
Yeah.
Once you are placed in that sort of environment, only get better.
Yeah.
You know
I
what
hope
I mean?
So.
You only go up.
I certainly hope so, but I am very excited.
I'm really excited too. I got to come see this place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Debatable.
No,
it's my 50th floor.
Look, we're way closer to each other now.
Oh, thank God.
We can walk.
I never even been to Fran's apartment.
Yeah. Well,
so
it was
weird.
We might as well have lived in different states.
True.
From where you live to where my apartment was on that birthday.
Yeah, but you've been to my apartment.
Yeah, well, we're close.
You should go to her apartment just once before she moves out just to see it.
No.
No.
No?
I don't think any of her friends...
No, my friends don't ever go.
I've tried.
All my best friends really haven't even seen my apartment. Nobody wants to go up there.
I like it up there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, okay. R.I.P. R.I.P. I'll never get
I've just
to see
never.
It.
I really don't
Give
even.
Give me a full video
also,
of it.
Also, I don't like. I don't know. It's weird because it's not like my apartment, right?
You
I mean, it
there.
Is. I live there. But
You've lived there for like.
No, I lived there for forever, but I moved in with my roommate who had already been living there for years. So everything in that apartment is hers. So, like, I don't know. I've always felt kind of weird with hosting people there because I'm like, it's her, all of her stuff. Like, God forbid, like, I spill some. Like, I've always been nervous still just, like, about messing up any of her stuff.
Rhea might come in and burn a hole through your couch.
yeah. Like, hey, you know, you never know. But this is also why it's exciting because I don't really own any of my own furniture, so I gotta like put my big girl pants on. I gotta like buy my own furniture.
Yeah, you're
design
gonna get
an apartment.
Interior designer. You're just gonna use your from your noggin.
I probably use something. There's some online things like my mom has used Modzy before. I feel like maybe I'll something that is easy.
They just will do it for you.
Yeah, like I take a picture and upload it, and then they do it for me, and then I can decide if I like this stuff or not.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because I'm very indecisive when it comes to home decor.
Yeah, and then it just becomes like, why even decorate?
Right. I'm afraid that I all of a sudden it's like November and I'm like, well, I only have like 5 months left on the lease. Like, decorate?
That's what happened to me. After we re-signed our lease this past August, I was like, well, we're going to leave in a year. So like, I'm not going to do anything to this place. And every day I walk in there and I'm like,
Yeah.
This could look a lot better. But
yeah, yeah.
We'll see in August.
Yeah, exactly.
New apartment.
So
very exciting, Francesca.
That's exciting.
Congrats to you and Joe.
Thanks.
Gonna get like
Thank
emotional
you.
About
I
us.
Can't
We're
get over
move
floor
on.
50. That's
yeah. I know, I know. Do your ears pop on the way up?
Yeah, on the elevator.
Oh man. You gotta like chew gum on your way up
yeah.
there.
I don't love that feeling.
No.
But once you're up there,
and you see
yeah,
the views.
Yeah, once you're up there, it's okay.
Oh my goodness. When do you move in?
Knock on wood, it's not confirmed yet, but hopefully April 1st.
Oh my god, imagine after all this time.
After all this, I don't get approved. That'll be pretty
Oh, that would be
April
sad.
Fool's Day.
Yeah. yeah.
She comes Fuck. There and they're like, nope.
No, that's Joe was saying the same thing too. He was like, I was like, so you're good? We're good? Like, this is what we're doing? He was like, yeah, what's the move-in date again? I was like, April 1st. And he looked at me and was like, is it? I'm like, I'm dead serious. This is the day.
Yeah.
No, I'm not joking. Not a prank.
I feel like you'll be in there first.
Not a prank. Yeah. Well, what's nice too is I don't have like a hard out of my apartment. So like I can kind of take my time with moving stuff.
Yeah.
Which is good, but I also don't have furniture, so I'm gonna have to get.
Yeah, you start ordering.
Yeah,
get on it.
Yep. I have a feeling I'll be living without furniture for a little bit.
That's everybody has that. For you just get one chair.
Like sleeping on the bed? I mean, sleeping on the floor.
Potentially, I don't have a bed.
Air mattress.
What do you mean you don't have a bed?
She's got a bed.
I'm telling you, I don't own a single thing in my apartment.
Your bed.
I moved in. There was already a bed there. I said, "Great, I'll take it."
Wow.
Damn, friend. You've been fucking
yeah.
mooching off this
no,
girl
not,
this whole time.
I know.
It's time you
put
live
in my
on the
big
50th
girl
floor.
Pants.
It's time. oh my God.
Literally the only thing I have are
you don't
my
own
dressers.
One thing in your apartment?
Not
even your bed?
The dressers. And I'm not taking them. I'm getting new ones.
You're starting a new life.
Yeah.
Congrats on this chapter.
Thank you. I am starting a new life. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, fingers crossed. Okay.
I'm nervous. Well, if anybody likes interior design, let me know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were nervous like about you and Joe moving in together.
Oh, no, that I'm not nervous about, but I'm a little nervous about closet space, but that's another conversation.
Listen,
let's talk about
come.
The Grammys.
Let's talk about the Grammys, okay, everybody? Let's get into today's topics. We have a great show.
Great.
We're going to talk all about the Grammys, which, like we said, good show. We also are going to talk about the Vanity Fair article that came out about Armie Hammer and about his entire family. Mm-hmm. J-Lo and A-Rod are definitely on the rocks. First
For
they
sure.
broke
Confirmed.
Up, then it was... They're not breaking up, but we'll dive into it.
On the rocks sounds appropriate.
Yeah, on the rocks I think is the right way to put that. The Bachelor announced two new hosts for the next season of The Bachelorette. Chris Harrison will not be hosting. Will he return? Who knows? Nick's album, Spaceman, came out on Friday.
Deluxe version last night, too.
Yeah, the deluxe version with a song from the Jonas Brothers, which was very cool. Yep. And we have a great interview with Camilla Luddington from Grey's Anatomy, which
Just
all the Grey's fans out there.
Rounded episode
Good
today.
Ep.
Good ep. We got some personal updates, music, TV, relationships,
great
Bachelor.
Ep.
It's everything.
It's everything you've ever wanted.
Yep. God, we're good.
put that Billie Eilish song in right there.
Oh, right into the Grammys.
Yeah.
From mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, it's time to get into the Grammys recap, which was last night. This show was great. We said it
Top
from the
notch.
Beginning. Great show. Fuck the Golden Globes. The Grammys was awesome.
If they go back to the way they used to do the show, I'll be furious. This was fantastic.
It was performance after performance. It had the important awards that you care about. It wasn't a bunch of nonsense thrown in. They gave out a lot of awards before the show even started, so we saw that all over the place. People were winning before they were even on stage. But we got to the important awards. Great performances. Hosting wasn't that funny, but, you know, we'll just... That's just the way the award shows go these days.
Trevor Noah... And what's interesting, too, is it was still such a good show that Trevor Noah feels fairly irrelevant to the whole entire production. If it was someone that was funnier, maybe it would have been even better. But there were some moments that I enjoyed, but there were also some moments that fell a little flat. But that's okay.
Yes.
But he did a good...
When he was making fun of Harry Styles in the beginning, or like he was making some joke, and Harry just like kind of wasn't laughing.
Yeah. He said something about like he'll steal your dress or something. But he did do a good job of just facilitating. Like, he kept things moving. We're jumping between performances and award show, awards, and I feel like he was good with that.
Right. Usually when the award show is so bad, then everyone also shits on the host because there's nothing good about it. Where
the production was so good.
It was really good, so you kind of don't even care about the host. But the show started off with Harry Styles opening up with Watermelon Sugar. The outfit he had on was unbelievable. It was double leather, top and bottom, no shirt underneath, and a feather boa green. At first, when I saw this outfit, I was like, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But when I've fallen and I can't get up kind of situation.
When he ripped the scarf off.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe my eyes. I can't even talk about it right now. I'm getting flustered and I'm getting hot. Like, need to take off my sweatshirt because he looked so unbelievable. He's amazing, this man. His tattoos, everything about him, I can't even put it into words. He is unbelievable.
It's also something, too, because yes, you are right. When the boa came off, it was like gasp for air kind of moment. But the boa was also so great. Like,
so powerful.
Nobody can rock a feather boa like he can. And he had it in his other outfit. Right. But it's just... It was incredible. He sang Watermelon Sugar. He sounded great. But even like that set the stage for just a very cool way of doing their performances. He went from Harry Styles to Billie Eilish to Haim. Like, the way they did it was really cool. And I also thought it was cool that you could see they were all so close to each other. So like when Billie Eilish was playing, they would cut to Harry Styles and you could see him bopping along, listening. And same for Haim. So it was very cool, and he sounded fantastic. And once again, the Gucci outfit, unbelievable. He was in head to toe Gucci.
He had the
little Gucci banana penis necklace that
I tried
sold
buying
out.
It
I know
everywhere I, yeah, last night. Out. I tried. Big I went on every site. Out. I went everywhere. I almost settled for the silver instead of the gold because it was and I couldn't get it. I tried to get this necklace for an hour. I need it so bad. I love him so very much, Harry. I love you. I know you're not listening to this, but if you happen to, I love you
so
much.
I also thought it was
really
like, it was a cool slowed down version of Watermelon Sugar.
Yeah,
it was.
So I kind of wished that, I know that Watermelon Sugar was why he was nominated and he actually won for. And so I get all that, but there are so many better songs than Watermelon Sugar on Fine Line, but that's like a pop song, so I get it.
And it's the biggest one.
It's by far the biggest one, but I feel like
it has
other people
impact.
Had multiple songs, like, you know, Dua Lipa had multiple songs, and Cardi and Megan had multiple songs, and I feel like he was opening the show, and usually when you open the show, I feel like you get a longer spot.
Right.
His was only one song, and I'm just doing this because it's Harry Styles.
And no Miley Cyrus, but we don't.
Yeah,
we
no
don't
Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Thanks, Fran. We'll move on
from that. I know. I'm sorry, everyone. I get my hopes up, too.
That's okay. We'll move on. But the first award went to Meg Thee Stallion, who won for New Artist, and once again, I was crying. Yeah. I started crying immediately when Harry was performing, because how could I not? Then I cried when Billie Eilish performed because I think Billie Eilish is so talented at such a young age and it fascinates me.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. Her and her brother, they have a great relationship. Once again, it's
the,
like
the Academy loves loves Phineas.
And then Meg, then she wins for Best New Artist. She gets up there. She's crying.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I need to take a pregnancy test because I am crying at everything. I'm so emotional.
Yeah.
But then I realized I do this at every...
That's true.
At every sort of... Like, where people are, like, winning awards or, you know, they finally get that dream of theirs. Yeah. You know, I just cry. So yeah. I was so happy for all these people. And Meg looked great. Loved her dress.
She looked amazing. The color was fantastic of her dress. I feel like she just had such an amazing night. Because not only, you know, Best New Artist, she won Best Rap Song... Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe there was perhaps something else too. A rap performance they won for Savage Remix with Beyonce mm-hmm. too. I mean, not only did she win all these awards at her first Grammys, she literally got on stage with Beyonce. Like Beyonce walked on stage with her. It was just like a cool way, a cool thing to see. She was thanking Roc Nation and Jay-Z, and Jay-Z's sitting right there too. It was definitely worked out wonderfully. And this doesn't take away from Meg at all in what I'm saying, because that song was amazing. Like, the song was massive. Of course, it's going to win, and it is what it is. But, like, there's no way that Roc Nation and them, like, actually being able to get Beyonce and Jay-Z at the award show, like, didn't help. I feel like that just helps.
Well, I think it's because they knew Beyonce was going to beat the record.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I feel like they give Beyonce and Jay-Z a heads up. Like,
for sure.
You're about to beat, like, for we sure. got the answers. You're about to win.
When they were walking off stage and then Trevor Noah was like, wait. I was like, uncomfortable, because I'm like, you can't just tell Beyonce.
Yeah,
that.
I know.
Like, come
I know.
On, step
I
back. Know. Yeah. No, but it was for good reason. And she found out that she tied it while she was up on stage with Meg. But then when she won for Black Parade is when they announced, like, you beat the record, which is such a cool moment to see Beyonce, like, still once again.
28 Grammys.
It's really weird. Once again, just like, she's shocked.
Yeah.
But it's Beyonce.
Yeah.
So it's like, these people, it still doesn't get old to them.
The ladies really, and also I just got it, like, I did not expect Beyonce and Jay-Z to be there. So when they were panning the tables and all of a sudden it goes all the way across and then it's like, bam, Beyonce and Jay-Z. It was like, oh, Beyonce and Jay-Z. They, you know, they're sitting at their table and Jay-Z's got his champagne on the table. What's it called?
Oh, Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Noah. His, and they're just having a nice time. Beyonce's there. Obviously, she, you know, you're expecting something big when she's sitting right there, which is exactly what happened. 28 Grammys beat the award. And like I said, massive night for the ladies out there, the women of music. Not only was Megan Thee Stallion a huge winner, Beyonce beats that record, Taylor Swift and Folklore won Album of the Year, and now Taylor Swift is the only female to win Album of the Year 3 different times. And I believe I saw a bunch of tweets that there are only three other artists, like there has been producers and, you know, production side that have won Album of the Year 3 or 4 times. But artist-wise, it's Taylor Swift, Frank Sinatra, Paul Simon, and what was the last one? I'm going to forget it. I sent it in the group. Elton John, maybe? No.
Stevie Wonder.
That's what it is.
All okay. legends.
Yeah. What a lineup that is.
It's incredible. That's so insane. Frank Sinatra, Stevie Wonder, Paul Simon, Taylor Swift
Crazy.
Have won Album of the Year. And so they win. Taylor Swift wins. Billie Eilish wins Record of the Year with Phineas. And like I said, I feel like the Academy loves Phineas production-wise. Like Phineas
gets a lot of
top
love.
Prize. We know that Harry Styles won for pop solo performance, so you throw him in there. Dua Lipa won for pop vocal album. I Can't Breathe. Her song of the year.
Her is so cool.
She's just literally so cool. Just radiates.
She just gets up
cool.
there and you're just like, she's so fucking cool.
So fucking cool. Everything she does. Pop duo shred. Group performance was Ariana and Lady Gaga. Like, you really covered pop, all of the biggest women in music were winning, which was awesome. Like, it was really women dominated.
Right.
And Harry Styles, a dream.
It's so good. And I love the people who, obviously, like, Billie Eilish is more new. Meg is new. Dua Lipa has been around for, like, a few years now. But, like, Lady Gaga, Beyonce, they've been around for so long, and they're still out here just crushing it. They just still put out hits.
What do you think of Dua Lipa's performance?
Oh, unreal.
Maybe. She is phenomenal.
I think I would love a Dua Lipa concert.
100%. She is phenomenal. I will say that there were moments that I felt like the lip syncing was a little tough.
Really? I didn't notice with her. I saw it with Cardi B. That's the only time I noticed, really.
Well,
I noticed
Dua
right away. Really? Yeah. Right in the beginning.
Well, that's like pop star.
Right. No, that's 100%. Yeah. But I also think that it came off very obvious because she normally does not lip sync, right? And I think, like, when you're naturally a performer like she is, when you try and go into that other mode, sometimes it comes off a little more obvious.
And I feel like everyone knows she's a good singer and can sing. It's not like she has to.
For sure, for sure. And it's the Grammys. Like, I feel like so many live television performances, artists don't even have a choice on whether or not. Like, sometimes it's like, no, this is how we have to do it.
Around.
Yeah,
oh my God, she's dancing, she's got outfit changes, she's doing everything. So, no, 100%. It was phenomenal. She is just majestic.
Yeah, she really is.
She's just an absolute specimen of a human being. I she's so hot, it's unbelievable.
Listen.
Good for you, Onward, Deed.
Yeah, she really is. And the purple outfits, the purple blazer, just everything about her.
Everything. You know, she had DaBaby come and do, like, their levitating remix that he's on. DaBaby's performance was great, too. Yeah. I thought, because there's a lot of really good performers.
And I really liked his outfit.
I loved his outfit. And a lot of times I feel like with the rap performances at the Grammys or live TV shows, too, that those are not like actually live. Like, I mean, Cardi B was pretty obvious, but he was performing. He, like, really put on a show. He was great. And he had his grandma background singers that were
unbelievable. Like, everybody had a great performance. Everybody brought something different to the table.
Yeah, they
everybody
did.
Had a different vibe.
Yeah.
Meg and Cardi, we have to talk about WAP, because who even knew they were going to perform WAP? Like, yeah.
Like, it can't even sing the song.
It was
the clean version is hilarious.
Yeah. They made it almost, like, classy. Like, when it started, it was just...
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But they're literally scissoring on the bed, but they have to cut out wet-ass pussy live speaking. It doesn't make any sense. Just play the song, because they are literally fucking each other on stage, which is fine. I love it. Like, I love that they get up there and they're like, we're going to perform this. Like, we don't care that everybody gets, well, not everybody, but people get mad about this.
Yeah.
They're just going to get up there and do their thing. So I love that. I think both of them are great. I'm like currently obsessed with Meg Thee Stallion. So that's another thing. Like,
her line was like, what would Beyonce do? But make her ratchet.
She's just funny and she just has a good attitude. And, but her and Cardi,
Hot Girl Summer Part 2, she said, coming up. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Love it. These two are just, I was just laughing. I'm like, they're really just up there doing this thing.
Yeah.
And it's great for all of us who don't care. But they, oh my God, the people who get up in arms about it, it's like, what? Why do you even care?
Yeah.
Why do you care that much?
Change the channel that bothers
you like,
that
if you're,
much.
Like, there's plenty other channels on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just change it.
I don't know. It was awesome. It was exactly what I expected from them.
Meg was literally clapping cheeks before Cardi came out.
No, they are fantastic. And you know, you get kind of like the. It's funny because obviously TikTok has had such a huge influence on some of these songs. Mm-hmm. So like, kind of seeing. It's funny when you're like, we're watching the Grammys. They're doing like TikTok dances on the Grammys, you know, and Doja Cat and everything. Like, it's very interesting. But the two of them were amazing. Across the board, performances of the night were all
Bruno Mars and great. Anderson .Paak.
Silk Sonic
was so good.
Is the fact that those two decided to pair up together is just a gift that the world didn't deserve.
Their orange suits, everything, the way that it was shot, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't describe exactly what it is.
They could be time travelers, those two.
Right. It just,
like, they're from a different era.
They're just so smooth.
So smooth.
Anderson .Paak is, like, the most talented guy.
They're so... It's
I don't
like,
know how he
how
plays
you
the drums
get,
and sings like that at the
yeah.
same time.
I don't know how you also just get to... And, of course, they're so fantastic, but it's like... The fact that they agreed to form this band together is so cool. Like, there's two huge stars on their own, and to have them combine into, like, a band that's not even their names. You know, it's not like the Bruno and Anderson show. It's they came up with the coolest name ever, Silk Sonic. Like, they're just some cool
silly
guys.
Smooth cats.
They are. they really are. That was by far one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. The country music was great. You know,
Post
Maren
Malone
Morris
was good.
Played with John Mayer, which is great. I never get tired of listening to Bones. I love that song. Mm-hmm. It's just I sing it every time I hear it. Yeah, Post Malone was good. And that's what Noah was saying too before we started to record. Like, the packages that they put together for Record of the Year were all so cool. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes the packages, you're sitting there, you're like, oh, wrap
they put
it up.
So like, much effort into it. There was one point where, like, Billie Eilish was being interviewed, and then she's like in a car, and it,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
the effects and everything.
The production
yeah,
was,
cool. was
on another really level cool. that I've ever seen before at the Grammys. Like, everybody's performance, the screens, the way
I love the stages.
The stages, the way everything fell into each other, and when they would announce the award, the music kind of sounded like it was from Succession.
Yeah, yes.
Everything was so good about the production.
Yeah,
really, no complaints about the Grammys.
Did you have any idea of what Harry Styles got bleeped for? People were like,
yeah, he said that. He said that there's a lot of, like, fucking massive tracks on the, like, I think he just
cursed.
Said yeah, I think he just said that like these what? Other
I'm like
performances,
like, turned on thinking about Harry Styles throwing an F-bomb out there on stage.
That was all he said. He said fucking massive about,
oh my,
like,
God.
About the other songs
die
nominated.
To hear him say that about the other songs nominated, to give them such a compliment like that.
And everybody's going crazy over the clip of him and Taylor Swift having a little
I did see that
a little
when he
convo.
Won she was clapping immediately, and they were supporting each other. Also, the pictures of him and Lizzo are great. Yeah. Lizzo made a TikTok how she was dying to meet Harry Styles, and then she did. And I just love that because I'm picturing Lizzo, like, screaming when she sees Harry, and then Harry being all calm with his hunchback. And I'm picturing Lizzo being like, we have to do a song together, and Harry being like, yeah, go.
You know what? The one thing that they have to fix, the envelopes. I don't know what was going on because... And it's funny when one person struggles. Like, it's funny when Lizzo's like, well, we can't fucking open this thing. It was, like, the first award. But when you get all the way to the end and...
But they
and
must want that for the suspense.
Right. But everybody was having a hard time doing it. You got Ringo Starr up there who looks fantastic.
And he's 80. Why does he look like that?
I know. It's incredible.
These people. What?
I know.
What
Benjamin
is it?
Buttons.
Yeah. What is it?
I know. But like I said, all around... Great stuff. Oh, and BTS. I'd be remiss if I didn't throw BTS in here.
Dynamite is a great song.
Without fail. I've heard that song so many times. And at this point in time, we should, like, hate that song. Because I just feel like it should annoy everyone at this point. It's like, oh, God. Like, it's just one of those pop songs you hear all the time. Never. I hear it, and I'm just like, light me up like dynamite.
You can't with BTS. There's good vibes.
Normally... That late in the Grammys, like, I'm asleep. Like, I'm like, this is late. And yes, it was very long. Definitely could have, you know, a hard 11 p.m. out would have been nice. But BTS at 11:30, I was like, all right, I'm awake. Yeah. I can do this.
It was hard to go to sleep after.
It was.
Oh, also, Brittany Howard and Chris Martin. That was
a
great
performance. So good. So I wish Chris Martin sang with her too, but, you know.
This show was one of those shows where I was like, I don't even care if this doesn't end. Whereas Golden Globes, it was like, oh my God, we have another hour of this. This was a really great job by everyone.
It would have made it better if JoJo Siwa performed with
them. Oh, yeah.
Apparently DaBaby asked JoJo Siwa to perform with him at the Grammys.
Mm-hmm. That would have been.
She's busy. Unreal. She's busy.
JoJo Siwa is busy filming something, or else, you know,
the baby didn't want to blow up her spot.
Yeah, he didn't want to say what she was filming, which fair enough. But yeah. I can imagine that JoJo Siwa, wherever she's filming right now, it's like, fuck. Like, I could have been on stage at the Grammys with the baby.
If she came on stage,
I would have lost my shit. I swear to God, if JoJo Siwa was on the stage,
believable.
I'm pretty sure my heart would have pounded out of my chest. Like, I really, that would have been such an exciting, shocking thing.
It would have.
I think everyone would have, that would have been the most talked about moment,
yeah.
I think, of the year.
Yeah.
If JoJo Siwa just came out on stage with DaBaby at the Grammys.
Yep.
Just such an unlikely pair.
Would have been amazing.
Everything was great. I think we could wrap it up. I think we've covered most things. I'm trying to
just thank
remember.
You, Harry Styles.
Yeah, thank you, Harry Styles. I love you so very much. I'm going to wear that exact outfit and take pictures one day.
In the leather outfit?
I own both pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
I own a top and a bottom that looks exactly like that. All I need is a green feather boa.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can catch Harry's attention that way.
It's a good Halloween costume.
Yeah, I don't know if I can wait that long. I was thinking about wearing it today. I was like, should I go in this outfit? It was too early.
Yeah, it's far
too early for
that. If you walked in here in that outfit, I would have told you to go on.
Yeah, far too early for that.
Said cancel it. It's not happening today.
We'll just put this picture out, this outfit, and we'll move on.
Oh, his dance moves. I can't stop thinking about it. All right, we got to talk about something else.
Reel it in. So on Friday, news shocked the world that A-Rod and J-Lo would be splitting up, all because of Madison LaCroix from Southern Charm. Yes, those were real headlines that were posted about everywhere in the media. And then quickly the narrative changed after that was out on TMZ and E! And all those places. Quickly it changed that, no, they are not over yet. They're working on some things.
Still together.
I don't believe that. I think that J-Lo and A-Rod are done, and I think they have been done, and I think that, and I think you probably saw this on Dumois as well, that apparently, you know, J-Lo is too big of a star to have Madison LaCroix control the narrative of her 100%. Breakup with A-Rod, which is so
I believe it because that just makes the most logical sense.
Right. If you were J-Lo, wouldn't you be like, this is so embarrassing that this girl from Southern Charm is ruining my relationship with A-Rod. Like, what is happening right now?
Right. Like, I'm she's not going down as, like, our relationship ended because A-Rod is possibly cheating and with Bravo, a woman from a Bravo television show. Or
Bravo,
like,
celebrity.
Literally other.
Sliding in Bravo celebrities' DMs.
Yeah. Yeah. But not even just her. I feel like there's a lot of other women out there, too, who could have said they've had similar interactions with him as Madison had. So,
listen, I think that it's sad because I feel like they had a nice blended family. It seemed like
right,
they had
100%.
Been engaged for 2 years.
I think that's the kids too.
The wedding was coming, so it's obviously going to be a sad situation because when their kids all get along, and now it's like, oh no, daddy's messaging a Bravo celebrity. We can't carry on with this. It's just, it's crazy that this is a thing.
Bravo Liberty.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no way. Like, I know that they are trying to switch the narrative now that they are okay, but there is a 0% chance these two walk down the aisle.
What kind of chance?
Zero.
What kind?
A fat chance.
Yes.
Fat chance. A-Rod and J-Lo walk down the aisle. Rhea asked us during the Grammys if fat chance meant zero chance or big chance.
Because it means zero.
Yes.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Why would fat chance mean zero chance? Fat chance to me means like a big chance.
Like, you would be like skinny chance.
Yeah, if it was zero, it'd be like
slim chance.
Slim chance.
Which also does
thing,
work.
Yeah.
I think slim chance.
But why
would
fat
work, but
chance?
Fat chance is just it's just.
That it's sounds just, like I'm going to start using it as a huge chance.
Do you think J-Lo has seen the reunion?
Yes.
Southern Charm reunion?
It has been shown to her by a person.
Man.
I would bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's watching the mouth to find out if they mouth A-Rod.
Yeah.
Because she's hiring a professional mouth reader to find out what they said.
It just seems like, and you know, these are obviously the rumors that have been put out there. It just seems like this story broke. They were not expecting it to. They had this leak, and in order for them to save their image slash to be able to try and curate how they want a breakup to go, it was like, no, we're still together, we're good. J-Lo's in the Dominican Republic right now also filming a movie, so they're not even together, which I feel like makes this even more dramatic. And she's filming this movie with Lenny Kravitz, who,
yeah,
I mean, not to...
That would be a couple.
Not yeah, to,
I would
well,
love
I was gonna say,
J-Lo and Lenny Kravitz together.
Not to push J-Lo along here, but...
Lenny Kravitz is significantly cooler than
but,
A-Rod.
Yeah, if Lenny's available, that's...
Yeah, I think they would be...
Unbelievable.
We're all like, all right. It's, A-Rod was cool and all, but Lenny...
Like, well, you think Lenny would ever be caught, like, filming her, like, in the crowd? The way that A-Rod does?
No, Lenny would have his arms crossed, not in his head. Yeah,
and that's what she needs, because look, this is the thing. It was all, now I just feel like it was all facade. Ooh. Like all the
yeah, fucking
supportive
skazy
shit.
Go for it.
Well, yeah, it's like you're already, that same phone he's got holding up filming her, guess what he's doing? Messaging Bravo Lenny.
Yeah, and Madison LaCroix's name is popping up at the top.
So,
by the way, Noah.
I don't know.
We love that you chime in. We're going to need a camera on you. We're going to need a camera on you, okay? Don't you agree? Mm.
Yeah, if you want to chat it up with us.
No, I only chat it up when I have a strong opinion.
Yeah, but you...
You've had strong opinions recently.
We want a camera on you. One that's just like a cute little producer one. That one that's right in front of your face. There's one right there.
There's one right in front of me.
Yeah. You it's could just on. Start recording yourself.
I don't
know. I know it's what the people want. That was a big sigh. It's just like, We'll talk about it. I'm going to have somebody
maybe
come in here and start clicking record before you even know.
No, but I 100% do believe that they are not together right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're done. And also...
And if they are still together, it is strained.
Yeah, it's strained. Lenny's coming in. Listen, I heard that Lenny Kravitz is single. And I feel like if J-Lo's around Lenny Kravitz long enough and he's single and J-Lo's... on the rocks with A-Rod, and in the back of her head, she's like, oh, A-Rod's messaging fitness girls and Bravo celebrities. I'm going to fuck Lenny Kravitz. Like, come on. It's Lenny Kravitz.
Putting J-Lo in the Lenny Kravitz and, why am I spacing on
Zoe?
Yes, but I'm Lisa Bonet. Yeah. Zoe's mom. Lisa Bonet, Jason Momoa.
Yep, all of
Zoe Kravitz family. Unbelievable.
I know that the son, we can't trust them. I know we can't trust the son. But I do like this headline. Mm. J-Lo getting close to co-star Lenny Kravitz as she works through issues with A-Rod amid split rumors over cheating. With this picture of them where they look like such a good couple.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, rooting for that pretty hard, not going to lie.
We are. Listen, sorry, A-Rod. You know, you'll be fine.
At this point with A-Rod, it just feels like a where there's smoke, there's fire kind of situation. And if there's that many,
it's not the first time he's got caught cheating.
Well, it's yeah.
Has anyone thought of that until now? Probably.
Noah, everybody.
I don't know.
Literally,
it just came to me.
Everybody on Twitter has made this.
I haven't seen it.
100% has joke has
but
been.
But
not only
A-Rod's been cheating before.
Not only in baseball, but I do believe
the thing is there will be people who don't get it.
Didn't he cheat on his ex-wife? Yeah, no, but I also think like he cheated on his ex-wife.
I'm pretty sure he's a notorious cheater. I think he cheats on everything.
Every facet of life.
Oh man,
we might have to cut this out.
Oh yeah,
it's all right.
I think it's okay.
Yeah,
that was funny. We're joking.
Yeah, it's just
like. That was some good jokes.
I mean, and look, at the end of the day, J-Lo is not going to... J-Lo is not going to let this control the public story.
No, I'm just looking at pictures 100%. Of J-Lo's and Kravitz now.
J-Lo's got too many powerful people in her camp. She's too powerful herself to have the story go down like this. So they're changing it.
Look at this picture of Lenny Kravitz. I'm pretty sure that's Donatella Versace and J-Lo.
That is correct. That is exactly what it is. It's powerful.
That's such an iconic picture.
Literally just, I hope they never leave the little Dominican. I hope they never leave the Dominican Republic. I was going to say the little island they're on, but I was going to say the little island they're on, and then I thought I should just say Dominican Republic, and it turned into that. So they should never leave where they are.
Hammer, titled The Fall of Armie Hammer, A Family Saga of Sex, Money, Drugs, and Betrayal. This article went in depth about Armie Hammer, his father, his great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather, a long line of people who are not good. A lot of bad people involved in Armie's family. They described it as, for the people who know Hammer's family, peppered with Russian communists and American oil tycoons. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, as soon as you read that, you're like, all right, buckle up.
No, it's a pretty wild ride. If you haven't read the article, you can check it out and hear more about his family history. And I knew that there were some shady shit, but I didn't really know how deep it went, how many generations it's spanned. And then as far as like deep allegations or whatnot, like, everything we read in this article is stuff we have heard from. We have heard already. You know, they spoke to two of the women that dated him after his divorce with Elizabeth Chambers. They've, you know, had sources here, sources there, but kind of just learning about the family and learning how they viewed themselves. They're a family of narcissists. No one, like, it's some of the details of the way his father lived his life. Sounds very similar to him in the sense that, like, Armie's father, Michael, lived, like, kind of this playboy lifestyle, running on money that maybe he didn't even necessarily have, met Armie's mom, who's, like, a devout Christian woman, like, very, very seriously religious. And it feels like Michael tried to be that way and to take on that lifestyle to like better himself, and when in reality he is like this also kind of dark kind of guy.
You know, it's reached a bad point when they start referring to the devil often, and I feel like in this article it was mentioned multiple times how Armie's mom thought that Armie was being taken by the devil. And that he had lost his faith in God, and that she'd wish that he would get back to being religious because the devil was taking him. And I feel like whenever you're referring to the devil that much, you are in it. Yeah. Like, you, this is like, religion is your life. Being this devout Christian is your entire life. And so I feel like that could also have, like, clearly Armie Hammer is going to be messed up when multiple people in his family have murdered people.
Yep.
And also his mom is telling him that the devil, probably scaring him his entire life about the devil, first of all, and also just having so many other issues built in.
Yeah.
He's going to have it. He's going to have problems. I feel like obviously some of it was public knowledge, or most of what was in this article we had heard about recently.
Yeah.
Right. But because Armie Hammer, he wasn't that famous, I think, until recently when all of this came out. This scandal made him more well known. He was trying to be the leading man.
Yeah, they made jokes in the article about how, like, he never quite was able to, like,
really become that leading man. And then
successfully.
Yeah.
Like, he had roles as a leading man, but the movies that they did were not really fantastic. Call Me By Your Name was the
Right.
That, call me by my
call me by your name.
No,
I always say
name.
Call me yeah. by my name by call accident. Call me by your name. Call me by your name. And I yeah. said it right the first time. It was like the one that really gave him some kind of recognition. No,
well,
no,
that was
but
his
but,
first.
Yeah, and
thing.
He wasn't exactly like the star of the social yeah, network.
But he was definitely a big part.
And it was like, oh, he's playing twins.
And he's playing
yeah,
two people.
Yeah. 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 But it, and that was for sure a big role for him, but like he was in that movie for maybe what, 5 minutes max?
No, no, he was in it more than that, I think.
Barely. He's in it more, in it I think, much. towards the
yeah.
middle
yeah.
end.
And Call Me By Your Name, he got like nominations for. I'm saying he got actual more recognition.
I mean, I just feel like Armie Hammer was a name that was floated around. Girls had crushes on him just from yeah, seeing yeah. him and things. And then right. I remember I saw, was
right
it Nocturnal?
When you said that,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
probably a month later, I feel oh like.
Oh my gosh.
Less than a month later.
I couldn't have had worse timing. I think it was Nocturnal Animals I watched. With Amy Adams and Jake yeah. Gyllenhaal, and yeah. then Armie Hammer is in it as well. And I watched that, and I was like, "Oh my god, Armie Hammer, cute!" And I watched The Social Network again. I had seen it when it first came out. I was like, yeah. "Oh my god, Armie Hammer, what?" But he doesn't have that many movies to be like, "Oh yeah, that's yeah. Armie Hammer." So I feel like we wouldn't have known all of this about his family because people weren't that interested in Armie Hammer
right.
until all
right.
of this happened.
Definitely.
Now we're getting in-depth analysis about all the people in his family, the crimes they've committed. They also he comes from a family that
family
has a lot of
money,
but he does not have that money. And yeah. I feel like that is something in the article it's mentioned. It's like that's something he prides himself off of. Yeah. It's just like not taking his family's money, but yeah. now it seems like he's very much struggling.
And it does kind of seem like everybody in the family lived fairly lavishly off the money mm-hmm. from their grandparents, great-grandfather Armand, and they once like that the will didn't give as much money to the family as the family had expected, and it caused so many problems within the family. You know, they talked to Casey Hammer, who's his aunt, who has written a book about like leaving the family and how dark and mm-hmm. twisted that family is. And he it's just like that they would live these lavish lifestyles on like this money that they didn't necessarily mm-hmm. even have. It was kind of why am I spacing on the name of this Knives Out? Knives Out, Knives Out. I was kind of getting like some Knives Out vibes of like family fighting yeah. over money situation.
Or Casey Hammer said that she started watching Succession and had yeah. to turn it off because it reminded her too much of her own family.
Yeah, yeah. And this, I pulled like a couple quotes from the article. It is pretty long of things that just like stood out to me too. One, yes, his straight up Army's grandfather murdered someone.
Murderer.
Straight yep. up.
On his 26th birthday.
26th birthday, yep. 1955, he killed a man inside his L.A. home over gambling debt and supposed advances on his wife, Glenna Sue. The front page headlines read, "Millionaire son kills GI. Armand had a friend deliver $50,000 in cash to a lawyer in Los Angeles. Julian claimed self-defense and charges were dismissed." So he just kind of got out of that. Michael, Army's father, is like in California. I think he stays prevalent in charities and things like that. Like people see him out and he's like maybe a society guy, one mm-hmm. might say. And this quote stood out to me because I was like, this is the narcissism. This is the trait that Armie has. Like, speaking to the Montecito Journal, Michael said that this is the proposal he'd had to Armie's mom. Michael said that his proposal had a patriotic theme, a red alligator skin Birkin bag, Armand's white rolls, in which he popped the question, and the blue of his very own eyes. Like, who says that about themselves?
It's weird.
It's weird.
It's weird. Narcissism. That's like
they're
you said.
They're all so fucked up. And they listed all the quotes from years past where Armie, and we've seen all of these, where Armie has spoken to publications where it's been like, that sounds iffy. That sounds iffy. Like, you know, the Playboy interview and things he said to Elle. You know, he told Elle that he was talking about a violent altercation that he had with a homeless man. And he had said, "My wife says I have a frontal lobe issue. Your frontal lobe controls your danger response. Like, whoa, I shouldn't be doing this." So, like, even at some point, it felt like Elizabeth Chambers felt like you have something chemically chemically wrong.
And you would think in a family, a long line like this that has had many problems, that they would try and seek help to prevent it in the future. Yeah. Which doesn't seem like that happened. And like I said, no wonder Army has all these issues, but that doesn't excuse all the shit that he's done. Like,
He definitely cheated a lot, it seemed like, potentially, and Elizabeth had found out about those things. It was just interesting, too, like I said, learning more about his family. This one line said, Michael, who multiple people say has the mindset of a teenage boy, also allegedly documented some of his deeds, texting X-rated photos to friends. So, like, there's just a lot of parallels of, you know, marriage, trying to have that clean family image, and then breaking, you know, having that end or breaking out of that, and then doing like these things that don't necessarily make sense to normal people.
What I'm so confused about is if his mom is this extremely religious person, how does she get involved in this family? You know, something about her kind of screams.
Well, I think Michael put on this facade of oh, I am also deeply religious. Let's bond on that and have that connection. You know, it just seems like he was almost able to put on that hat to be like, this is who I'm going to be now in order to be with you. We'll start this family. And then that wasn't really who he actually was.
Yeah. It's the whole thing is sort of creepy.
It's wild. It's really a wild story. It's just, and it goes back so far. We don't get to get all the details of it, but even just learning about like his great grandfather, Armand, who's the one that, you know, really kind of excelled the family into the money. And he's the one who got like the family into the oil industry and things like that. And you know, like, he was like hanging out with like Stalin and Putin. Like he was straight up like big time Russian communist. So it's all very interesting from a historical standpoint of like what went down with his family and how that has definitely shaped who he is
for sure. Because if you had a grandfather, great grandfather who have murdered people, that like you can't say that about your family. You know what I mean? Me and you can't say that about our families. Our family history is not that interesting.
No.
Not interesting in a good way, but when you read about it on the outside looking in, you're like, whoa, a lot has happened in his family.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if more comes out, because I feel like for a while we thought more was going to come out about Army that was going to be like even more than we already knew. Yeah. It seems like that hasn't happened yet. And we got this article, which was detailed about his family, but things that we had already known that had come out about him recently. So it'll be interesting to see if there's more. Yeah.
And seeing it in a legitimate publication gives it just a little bit more, just gives it like a little bit more life. Like seeing Vanity Fair publish an article like this detailing all of these things.
Yeah.
You know, they took it seriously, and they reached out to Army for a comment. Of course, Army's camp says that they actually blame a lot of these rumors on Dumois, the Instagram account, which is crazy. So ridiculous, and also shows how they have no defense if their go-to is to blame an Instagram account, a blind gossip Instagram account that really didn't post any like new information, solely posted what other social media accounts are posting, House of Effie and girls who are posting messages and screenshots and whatnot, and also just like other publications speaking about it. Like there was no,
they're just mad they got caught. Yeah, it wasn't like hey, Army's not doing this. Right. It's like hey, you know, and they told everybody
for sure. And Dumois definitely posted about it, but like not extensively. It's not like they
normal amount of how they post about other things.
Had a massive amount of posts about it. So that was fairly telling that if that's all that they could provide, you know, it's like, okay, that's it. That's what you're going to go for. That really shows how much you have to like defend yourself. Like, clearly you don't have anything.
guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy won, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
A lot of Bachelor, Bachelorette news this week. We're not going to talk about everything just because it is all going to be announced Monday night on the after show. So in case everyone, there's people who want to wait for that moment to watch it happen then, because there have been spoilers this past weekend and last week of kind of detailing what's going to go down with the Bachelorette season. However, this isn't really a spoiler. This is just an announcement. I'm sure they're going to talk about it. And also the Bachelor already posted about it. So it's a done deal. Tayshia and Caitlin will be hosting the next season of The Bachelorette. It is out there if you don't know who is The Bachelorette, but like I said, they will be announcing it all during the live show, so we'll talk about it on Wednesday when we recap the whole night. But that is 100% confirmed. Tayshia and Caitlin will be stepping in for Chris Harrison for this season. Who knows the length? We still don't really know what the deal is with Chris Harrison, but. And the way that Tayshia and Caitlin are even framing it, it sounds like, you know, they're stepping in is, I forget who wrote it. Tayshia or Caitlin had said, you know, stepping in to help guide the Bachelorette or things like that. Not necessarily being like, yeah, we're taking over for Chris. Like, they're like, No, we're doing our own thing. And he won't be there.
I think it's going to be so different. I really love these choices. I love Tayshia and I love Caitlin Bristow so much. I think that they both have different energy as well. So I think that they're going to work well together. And I also think having two women help the Bachelorette through this is going to help the Bachelorette a lot. Because
definitely
Chris Harrison, he was a good host, but it's kind of like talking to your dad in some way, whereas when you have two women around the same age as you that have been through the same journey as you and they could speak from experience and they know what is going on with the producers and they know what's going on behind the scenes and they've just been through it, can definitely help the Bachelorette a lot more. And I think they'll be more open to telling the Bachelorette things that Chris Harrison maybe wouldn't, you know, because he's still
girl talk
manipulating the show. Exactly.
And they've been there.
Yeah, no, exactly. They've been through this before. So I was really pumped when I saw this. I thought it was two great choices. I think it's going to be really fun to watch. It's going to be different. I think that doing the same thing over and over again gets tiresome after a while anyway. So the people who are like, oh my god, I can't even watch without Chris Harrison, it's like he really wasn't even in the show that much anyway. So
I know,
I think
that's
I think you're gonna handle it just fine and just
it's
stop
not
complaining
gonna
because,
change the show that much. I understand I understand the like I'm not watching anymore people are coming from a different place than just like, oh, it's going to totally change the show. Like, no, that's coming from a more serious place of like, they don't understand what Chris Harrison did wrong. And, and so they are more, you know, saying, well, if he's gone, I'm not watching. Because when it comes down to it, like we said, he's always been great in his job, but there wasn't exactly, you know, he became known for the things that he did well and the lines that he delivered and everything that he did was classic Chris Harrison. That's all the stuff that he did every season. I don't really think that it absolutely changes the format of the show. I mean, we saw JoJo fill in for, you know, a couple episodes for Chris during Tayshia's season and Was it that shocking? Like, no, it wasn't at all. It was fine. So they're gonna step in, and I don't know what the future holds for Chris Harrison. I'm sure he wants to come back. I don't really think that he's gone forever. Like I do kind of feel like there is a chance that he does come back.
Yeah, I feel like the GMA interview was a feeler to see how people felt about him coming back for The Bachelorette.
And it was way too soon.
And I feel like it was way too soon. Like, no way that he could be like, I've done my time.
Right.
I've really dedicated myself to educating
myself and learning and listening. And it's been 3 weeks.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think that was a misstep by ABC there.
Right. Even you could tell even from Michael Strahan, he was like, it didn't seem like he really bought any of it. So
we'll see what happens in the future. But for now, it's Tayshia and Caitlin. Congrats to them. That's really cool for them. So we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be fun.
Nick Jonas's Spaceman has been released. Not only, the album, we also got a deluxe version Sunday night, which was a fantastic addition. Didn't know that was coming. Now, normally we love going through the songs with new album, things like that. A lot of the songs, fantastic. Love them. We're not going to go through every single one of them. Also, we're trying to get these broadcasts, our podcasts up on YouTube.
Monday morning.
it's still Monday morning. And also, on YouTube, we can't play all the songs. Yeah. So it's, but I will say, love the album. Thought it was fantastic. I think that personally, and I've given it a few listens, so I have a different view on it than I would say I had after listening on Friday. The first half, I think I like better than the second half. Like I one songs 1 through 7, love. 7 to 11, they're good, but I like listening to them, but 1 through 7 I feel like they popped a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide where exactly my favorites lie still.
I really liked the intros to each song.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole album had a really blended well. You can listen to each song after the other and it kind of flows into each other.
It was spacey. And
exactly. Yeah. I was trying to find a good theme. Yeah, I was trying to find the word that would describe his album, but it's spacey is the right. I feel like a lot of people are going with that vibe recently. I mean, Madison Beer was kind of the same thing. And I feel like I like it. Yeah. I really liked, first of all, the songs, and I kind of agree with you as well.
Spacey is like so not the science. Yeah, like, what's like the right like scientific word for like
space?
Aeronautical.
Like, it's like astronomical.
All
right.
We're going to stick with spacey.
Yeah. NASA.
Space, travel.
Yeah.
Moon. So, yeah. But, and you know what? It's a different. I love this sound.
Three dimensional.
Yeah. I love this. The sound of this album I like a lot, and there's a lot of like big instrumental moments, which I'm a big fan of, and he sounds great. And then on the deluxe version, you got five new songs. And look, Nick, I'm not gonna complain here, but I will say I don't love it when it's advertised as like 5 new songs and 3 of them are just chill versions of other songs.
Yeah, you know that's what I'm not saying? 5
like to
new
me,
songs.
I'm sorry, and that's artistically wrong because they are different, but to get like just kind of acoustic versions of the other songs, I'm like, oh, not that I'm complaining, but I was a smidge disappointed when I thought there was 5 completely new songs. But like I said, not complaining because it was great to see Joe and Kevin featured on Selfish. Now, I don't really know, like, that cracks me up too because it's like Selfish featuring the Jonas Brothers. And which I like the look of.
Featuring my brothers.
Yeah, featuring Jonas Brothers. Like, I feel like they could have wrote, like, featuring Joe and Kevin Jonas, But because I'm like, well, the three of them are singing on the song together. So isn't it just the Jonas Brothers?
Yeah, because you can't feature yourself. Like, you are the Jonas Brothers.
Right, right. Like, Nick's a part of the Jonas Brothers already.
Yeah, but I guess, would you write Kevin and Joe? I think Jonas Brothers is just the way it goes.
Yeah. You know what also, not to get into a semantics debate too, but I always say, like, I just feel like everyone always says the Jonas Brothers. Like, but there is not a the.
It's just Jonas Brothers.
It's just Brothers.
But you have to say the Jonas
Right,
Brothers.
Like the, yeah.
Like
yes.
You say the Grammys, but it's Grammys.
Right, right, right.
Right.
But I'm like reading it looks funny to me. Like when it just says selfish featuring Jonas Brothers. Yeah.
But like when you write the Jonas Brothers, the T is not capitalized.
No.
That's
no.
how it looks.
Yeah.
You're just talking about the band, the Jonas Brothers.
The band, yeah. Jonas Brothers.
But yeah, the band.
But never,
Jonas
you would never say, I'm going to Jonas Brothers concert. You'd be like, I'm going to the Jonas Brothers.
The Jonas Brothers concert. Yeah, but why wouldn't you say,
I'm going to a Jonas Brothers concert?
A Jonas Brothers concert.
Which is, I feel like, what we say. I'm going to a Jonas Brothers concert.
I guess now I'm
going to I saw the Jonas Brothers yesterday.
Yeah, see, it's, I saw Jonas Brothers.
yeah, it's, now my mind is spinning.
No, I know,
right
I didn't mean to do that to, way I didn't mean too to, much. To everyone.
Congrats to Nick, though, we love the album.
Look, that album's great, music video for Spaceman is great. I think he's got some more, you know, videos coming out. And he, I will say, all right, I'm going to give my top three.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Okay. My top three, I think, as of right now, are This Is Heaven, Too Drunk, and Don't Give Up On Us.
Great saxophone solo in This Is Heaven.
Great.
Yeah, This Is
really,
Heaven
really
is good.
I like Spaceman a lot, but I wanted to kind of
like
switch
Delicious.
It up. Delicious is good. Heights, I don't really, Heights might be a skip for me. Which I don't like to say. But I go right from Don't Give Up
we
On
don't
Us.
Don't tell anybody.
No, I go right from Don't Give Up On Us, Spaceman, Too Drunk, Delicious, This Is Heaven. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then I do, you know, towards the end, I feel like are some more emotional, like, love songs. Because that's when we get into sexual, deeper love, If I Fall, Death Do Us Part, Nervous. Like, all very Priyanka-inspired songs. Which I like. I mean, hearing Nick Jonas say, like, sex in a song.
Oh my god.
Like, oh my god, sex, Nick.
You do
stop
that?
It. You can't talk about sex. Great interview with Camilla Luddington. We're going to get into all the drama on Grey's Anatomy.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
All right, everyone, we have a special guest today. We have Camilla Luddington from Grey's Anatomy. She plays Jo. This is super exciting because Fran, first of all, is a huge Grey's Anatomy fan. So is Noah, our producer. And
haven't missed one
recently,
episode.
She hasn't missed one
really?
Episode.
Wow.
Literally amazing. Never.
I recently started it and I'm only on season 5. So I haven't gotten to the point where you join yet, but I've already been spoiled. So don't worry about that. I've been spoiled because these two are just Fran and you can't see our producer, but they love it. Welcome to the show. We're very happy to have you here and we're excited to talk about it all.
Yeah. Well, last night was a really huge episode and it's been hard to keep that secret for a long time because we've known for a little bit. So I'm finally excited to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, you know, I did not see it coming. I was, you know, sometimes you kind of feel when characters' storylines on the show are coming to an end, or you hear buzz about, you know, the contracts and things like that. So you're like, okay, you know, they're going to have to wrap up somehow.
Yeah.
For this situation, and look, if you haven't watched yet, I'm going to throw it out there. If you haven't watched yet and you're listening to this interview and you don't want to know what happens, watch first before you listen, because I'm going to be talking about it. So,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Now we know that we lost DeLuca and the coming back. This is like the mid-season
premiere.
Yes, right. Yes. Mid-season premiere. And DeLuca, being the honorable man that he is, was going after the child, you know, human traffickers. And I didn't even realize, like, watching it, I don't know, they did it so well where it looked like he had just gotten bumped. Like, you didn't think that he had actually got really that hurt. And then you saw his sister. But, oh my, like, so you said you've had to keep this a secret for a while. What did you guys all think about this when you found out that he was?
So this was really interesting because we had a table read last night, yesterday, too, for an episode coming up in the future. And then at the beginning of it, we were able to, like, you know, the cast and, like, everybody, like, talk to Krista about the episode that was airing, because they're like, sometimes we don't remember necessarily, like, what exactly happened, what went down. Okay, so the interesting thing about DeLuca is that we had no idea as a cast. I'm sure that Ellen knew. She's an executive producer on the show, obviously, and she's Ellen Pompeo.
Yeah.
producers knew and writers knew, but the cast did not know. So when we were reading that script, which we do on Zoom now, it was very confusing because the Station 19 script we don't get. Right. So I was like, wait, hang on. What just happened? I was like very confused reading it. And I'm like, he's hurt? Like, huh? Like, I was texting Jesse and Jake at the same time. I'm like, what did I miss? Did I like forget? Like, cause sometimes it's like, did I forget what happened? And so that was really confusing. Then as the episode ended, the episode that we had read, he did not die in it. They were still trying to do CPR and all that stuff on him.
Yeah.
And so we didn't know, like, it was like a conversation amongst the cast because it was obvious that we weren't going to be told anything as to whether in the next episode he'd be saved. And we all were like, yes, this is what we do on Grey's Anatomy. This is one of those cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. He's going to obviously survive. We didn't actually know until the next table read that he was gone. And so we kind of found out in our own fandom-ish way, and we were really shocked too. And then last night, Krista, we were speaking to her on Zoom, and we said, so we can't tweet, obviously, that he's dead. Like, that's, you know, a cliffhanger. And she said, no, the script that you guys got was a fake script yourself.
Wow.
And we call time of death at the end of the real one. So we were even out of the loop until, like, just yesterday of what exactly this episode would look like, which is just, this is what it's like working on Grey's Anatomy.
we're out of the loop. Like, we don't know. We're shocked when we watch it. You guys were shocked watching it too.
Yeah, they keep things, I think, because there's just this season, there are so many huge things happening still to come that I'm like, oh my God. This season in particular is just so wild that even we are kept out of the loop and we're being given fake scripts, which is just, I mean, it's so funny when people say, are you surprised about stuff? Like, they're more sure. Like, yes, I'm surprised constantly. Also, some things air and I'm like, wait, what? And it's because that wasn't in the script that we read.
Right. And how do you deal with the death of a character on the show, but then also in real life? Because this is somebody you work with, somebody on the show. How do you deal with that afterwards?
Well, what's really cool about Giacomo and his leaving is that he got to direct an episode that he just finished the other day. And so we didn't feel like that episode was us saying goodbye because we still got to, like, steal him. And in this world of Grey's Anatomy right now, you know, if you die, you could possibly reappear. So there's the potential for all of those elements, whether he does or not will need to be seen. But we definitely got him to steal him for, you know, an extra week and a bit and have him direct us, which was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And like you said, you never really know. You can always have different kind of cameos, and especially with Meredith in this kind of,
yes, like,
beach life limbo situation. Like you watch every episode, which is a cool aspect this season. And you're kind of like every week you're like, well, who's showing up to the beach? Like you don't know who it's going to be, which is really, really cool. And I know you can't tell us too much because I feel like, and Grey's Anatomy fans are crazy, right? Like they're digging deep. They're predicting who they want to show up, who they want to make it to the beach, who they want to save Meredith. They're
like, every Grey's Anatomy fan, I feel like, should work for the FBI. Yeah. Like, solve everything. It's like, they will like, this is what, so I learned this like my first season of like posting a picture. They will take like the mug all the way in the background and figure out who's that is, who you're dating, if you broke up, if they're now dead, you know? So like, yes, I cannot say anything, but what is your question anyway?
Yeah. But also, so would you even know the answer? What have you got? What have you just been getting fake scripts?
Sometimes I do know the answer. Sometimes I definitely don't, is the truth.
Yeah. Fran, ask the question because.
Well, I guess the question is, will we be seeing more past characters who have left the show?
I will phrase this in a way that won't get me in trouble.
Okay.
And I will say that the beach is definitely in play still this season. So watch live, because otherwise things will just always be spoiled.
I have to say, like, I always I feel like a lot of people, you know, it's hard to watch TV live, and I definitely the last few seasons would watch on Hulu the next day and catch up, but now this season I'm like, I have to watch live or else the next day, like, forget it. I'm like, I miss Derek, George, like, I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore because then it ruins the episode.
Well, on E! News they usually just like post a picture of whatever happened on Grey's Anatomy how it gets spoiled. And I'm like, well, that's when I said, like, I'm on season 5, but I know what happens, because how would I not know what happens?
I know. I do feel bad for people that are that far behind, because I just feel like, is there anything? Yeah. Okay. I was like, is there anything to be surprised by anymore? But
no, I'm sure I'll still be surprised by things, even if I know them. But you joined in, it was like 2012, right? Which was around the time that you, 2009?
No, in season 9.
Season 9, okay.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I'm up to season 5. So I haven't gotten there yet. But because it was season 9 and the show is still, obviously, it's on season 17, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You've been on longer now, right? Or around the same amount of time that it was going when you joined. What was your expectations going in, because it had such a large fan base? Obviously Grey's Anatomy was already a huge show.
Yeah.
Were you nervous to join the cast because of the huge fan base surrounding it, or was it an excitement because it was such a large show?
There are two parts of this question. I was personally a fan of the show, but I didn't. So I was nervous to get on because I was nervous to get on a show that I had watched and it was like very iconic. But I didn't actually speak to other people about the show. Before I got on it, I actually had no idea the fandom that is Grey's Anatomy. I thought like, oh, obviously it's on the air, people still watch it, but like I had no idea. And when I got on the show and I was like, hey, I just got on Grey's Anatomy, that's when like everyone came out of the woodwork and they're like, wait, Grey's Anatomy? And I'm like, wait, you watch Grey's Anatomy? Like, and then I feel like it wasn't even that crazy when I first joined. I think it was like, I'm not sure when we hit Netflix. Whenever we really hit Netflix and people started to like, younger people started to like, you know, people in high school started to start from the beginning and like binge it in the summer. That's when it got really crazy. That's what I noticed, that like going out, especially if there's like a group of like college girls or high school girls, like it's going to be more of a situation like looking down the street. I feel like it wasn't necessarily like that in the beginning. So I didn't really know, and I'm glad I didn't know what I was in for. And now when people join the show, like when Jake Borelli joined, who plays Levi, I just sat down with him one day and I was like, I just want you to know what this will mean for your life. And it's hard to explain to people, like, you going out will be different for you. Because the fandoms are so huge and in so many countries, there's no like traveling to Italy or somewhere and like not being recognized. It's just everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, I like
what
you said.
Do people still recognize you now with the masks on? Sorry.
Oh, the masks.
Yes, actually, it's so funny because I have my real life pod in Los Angeles, and it's actually Chris Carmack. So it's like a Joe and Link situation for me. Our daughter's like our best friends. It's really cute. And mm-hmm. So he was over and he was saying, you know, it's so crazy. I still get recognized in the mosque. And I was like, yes, because we're out in costume. Yeah. Yeah. Might as well throw on our scrubs. So right. It definitely does happen. Like I get recognized in just the mosque. Yeah. Especially I think because people this season are seeing us so much, like without, mm-hmm. you know, all the glam really or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. No, I was going to say that it does make sense because the fandom has shifted so much. You know, when I was younger, I watched every week with my mom, like, and I felt like right. that was kind of how all my friends right. were and all my mom's friends were, we would all watch. Right. But now with Netflix, you have these younger people, younger kids that binge it all. Because when I go on Twitter after an episode and I look at, you know, I search the Grey's Anatomy hashtag or search a character's name, there are so many fan accounts, and the fan accounts are run by younger people. You know, there's so many, because I feel like you now have Grey's Anatomy like stans, you have Joe stans, you have DeLuca stans. Yes. Like you have these.
I didn't even know what any of this meant when I joined the show. Like, shipping. I felt like such a, like, I was like, what is, you ship who? Like what? But yeah, there's people that are younger than the show is, which is so wild, that are like the show. And now they, you know, they're 15 and they watch it with their mom who started watching it like way back in the day. So it's a very, I think it's like a unicorn. I don't think I'll ever get on a show like that ever again. It's just its own machine.
Absolutely. It really, really is. And Joe has had such a roller coaster story arc. You know, there's ups, there's downs, and I think, you know, so much of her story was tied to Alex Karev and that relationship. So how was it for you when Justin Chambers had left the show?
It was interesting because in your mind, when you play a character, you have all of these ideas of what their future could be, and you also like want to pitch things like, oh, they're gonna have kids and da, 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 and it derailed it. And what's interesting then is that happens to people in real life. They have this image of like, they're in this relationship. This is where we're going to go. We're going to get the house, the kids, da, 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 da. And then a breakup or something tragic, you know, happens. And they almost have to like completely start over in a way. And I think it's a really interesting storyline to play for her because she's refining herself outside of that relationship. It happens. She's having to get her own closure on it, which happens all the time. Like I was asked about, you know, do you think it would be good for Joe to be able to have that conversation with Alex of like how she feels? But it's interesting that she isn't, because in real life, you don't always get to have that conversation with somebody and express how you feel. So I like that we're playing that storyline of she's having to give herself closure and move on. And I'm excited to see her as a single girl. I mean, I know she's in a sex pod right now with Jack Slavery, but like, what does single Joe look like? You know, what does her future mean for her now?
Do you get scripts that you're just like, I got to hook up with Jesse now, like, you know, cause I'm sure you guys are all friends and you're all in like separate relationships on the show. And then you're reading and you're like, wait, Joe's going to hook up with Jackson. Like what?
I think that we take like, cause you know, Jesse is like a good friend of mine. Like, and it becomes less about like, oh my God, Jesse and I have to play this.
Right. Right.
Goofy together. I think it's more like, we immediately think in terms of like the fandom. So when it's like, I know that the show is going to open up with a flashback of like Joe and Jackson drinking, I'm like reading through and I'm like, they're going to go crazy. They're going to go nuts. Like, so I think we get excited or we get worried about things when we think like, oh my God, the fandom are going to go crazy. You know, if Joe had suddenly cheated or done something like that, I'd be like, okay, so I'm going to be getting off Twitter at what time on what day for like the next month.
Right.
I
feel like that's why Grey's Anatomy will almost just like last forever in a way, because there's so many different avenues and paths that they have taken. And it's almost like you're like, what else could happen? Who else could they date? And then there's just always a new storyline.
Yeah. I don't know how. I mean, that is, our writers just blow us away because 17 seasons in, there's always a storyline that even for us, we're reading and we're like, what? No, you know, like we still get shocked. And we're privy to more information, and where things are going. And I think that's what's so exciting about being on the show is I honestly do not know where Jo Wilson's going to go. I don't know who she's going to end up with. I don't know what's going to happen for her, but that's fun to play. That keeps us as actors on our toes.
Yeah. Right. It makes your job more fun and enjoyable. Yeah. How many weeks out of the year do you guys film?
So usually we do about 24, 25 episodes, and that's about 9 months of the year. We could make a Grey's baby in the time that we film. So it's a lot of time. That's the other thing about the show. You know, a lot of other TV shows do not do that amount of episodes anymore. I know we're just doing 17 this season, but so we get to sit with these characters for a long time every year and get very invested in their story because we spend so much time with them each season.
Yeah. You see a lot of shows nowadays just do like 10 episodes. That seems to be a cap. Sometimes there'll be 7 episodes if it's on like a streaming service, depending on if it's a limited series. And that's what I love about Grey's Anatomy each season. Like, I'm like, ah, oh, I got a load of episodes here. I'm never running out.
Exactly. It's a good lockdown binge is what, like, while we've been in quarantine, I'm like, binge Grey's Anatomy. You'll never have run out of an episode.
Rhea went through a period where I had to ask her if she was okay because I was like, you have watched a lot of seasons in a short amount of time and I just need to.
What was it like 2 weeks? Like I watched like 5 seasons in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was an unhealthy amount. And I found myself in a dark place. I'm like, I have to actually take a pause because I'm getting depressed. Like I'm in a dark hole and everything is like, but at the same time, it just, it pulls you in pulls that you emotion. In. You just feel so invested. And as shocking and devastating as some episodes can be, I also feel like there's a lot of relatable stuff. Like you said, your character having to find closure for herself. And sometimes you don't always get that in real life is very true. And people watching it are relating and they're like, oh, Joe's going to go out on the, I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It works.
Yeah. The next week's episode is really fun too. People have been asking me on Twitter. They really like drunk Joe for some reason. I like playing drunk Joe.
Yeah. But,
so next week, just to tease it, we are doing, you know, it's actually really sad to play. And I didn't even think of it initially after like, you know, realizing that DeLuca had died, but that, you know, people during COVID, they don't get to have the funerals anymore and the gatherings that they would have gotten to have. Right. So next week there is some sort of memorial put together because there cannot be a funeral in the normal terms. Mm-hmm. And before it, Joe gets really drunk at the loft. So
do you have a couple of drinks before you film that or is that not allowed?
It's definitely not allowed. I think it's not allowed. I don't. I'm just so used to playing her drunk at this point. I just know what that is. which I don't know what that says around me. I'm just like, fuck Joe, I got it. No, we haven't. That's like one. You'll probably be able to tell if I ever do that.
You have to try it out. We won't tell anybody.
I'll try it out next. Good. Yeah.
And we'll see. Yeah. We'll see if we can tell the difference. Yeah. But there are so many parallels with what is going on in the world because COVID is such a big part of this season. You know, we've seen a lot of the shows and, you know, you always get like real, it's always real illnesses and real stories and things like that. But this year, especially, and not even just Grey's Anatomy, but I feel like across a lot of medical type television shows, the pandemic has been a part of the storyline. How has that been for you guys and the cast? Because, you know, I just feel like at that point, you know, COVID is the main focus at work and in your scripts. And then you go home and it's still part of everything you're going through.
I think it's hard because... Well, first of all, I do want to say that, of course, we are so honored to be, you know, playing this storyline and giving the story of the frontline workers and forcing it in people's households because it's so important and what they have to go through every day is just unbelievable. But I do think that there is an element of escapism that you get to have as an actor. So it's like, if you're having a bad day, you get to go on set and you're, you know, at Joe's bar and it's like karaoke night or whatever it is. Right. And there's none of that escapism. And the truth is that, you know, different people have, I think, you know, interpreted what, you know, COVID is for them in different ways. For me, I was terrified because I was pregnant for a long time during, you know, the pandemic, and then it's still happening. And I'm just like a little bit of a hypochondriac. And so it is hard to be playing these storylines where there is a lot of death happening and a lot of tragedy, and, you know, Meredith's on a ventilator. It is really difficult to go home and feel like, okay, but that's that world, because no, that's really happening. And so this season in particular is probably one of the hardest seasons for all of us, because we are living it and then playing it. And those storylines are difficult, of course. Yeah.
Did you take a break from filming at all? I know you had a baby at the end of last summer. So like, or is it because you guys are in these big scrubs and because you're all like, you can kind of not.
Well, I started filming when he was like 3 weeks old.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm.
I like what you're seeing right now on the show. Like, he's kind of just been born still. He's like, you know, okay, 4 months old or whatever.
Oh my God. That like, it's crazy. But the parallel too of, I mean, I'm just thinking about the episode from this week and your patient and her like not being able to be baby. Like, I feel like now I'm thinking about you. I'm like, were you okay? Like,
it's
major props to you.
Yeah, seriously.
Really difficult. Those storylines are really difficult because I'm looking after a baby that, by the way, is in the NICU, and it's very hard going home to my baby. And also just even as a mom, like being at work, I'm like, but I want to go home and see my baby. Like, I'm holding a fake baby all the time. I'm like, I miss my real baby. Yeah. We did take a break. We shut down in March, right when everything shut down here in Los Angeles. And we were in the middle of filming an episode, and storylines were going in a completely different direction. It was just kind of, there was a whole episode that got scrapped. There were three other episodes that got scrapped. And we were there one day and then gone the next. It was very strange. And then we really didn't know when we would be coming back. And so we're just thankful to be, you know, being able to be tested and kept in a safe environment and be able to produce these shows, because I really, you know, we really didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, it's amazing to see. And we've talked to a lot of actors recently where, you know, they've shot films and they've shot their TV shows during this time. And it's huge props to the production companies and the people who work for these shows, because they're getting it done getting it done fast. And it's amazing to see.
Yeah, no, they really are. And you know, it was nerve-wracking going back because it had changed so much, like just the day-to-day had changed. And it kind of felt a little bit isolating, because it was isolating on purpose to keep us all safe. There was no like, hey, come hang in my trailer, or even just like hug hi, or, you know, like it was like so many protocols are in place to keep us safe. But they've done an incredible job, because, you know, we're going to be finishing the season very soon, and to have 17 episodes in the bag, working with hundreds of people in a pandemic is just wild.
Yeah. It's really awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And we're thankful because we get to watch these new episodes. And then this is like, I mean, it's such a fangirl question.
I know where you're going with this.
No, I'm not there. I know where you're going, but I'm not there yet.
Okay, okay.
First thing I have to... So, I mean, we all like... Ellen Pompeo just seems like one of the most badass women on this planet. And I feel like... I just want to know how it's like working with her.
Oh, wow. It's really fun working with Ellen. I actually... Like, one of my favorite times working with her was... her directing. Like, it's really fun when she's behind the camera directing, because she has so much fun with it. Like, I just have memories of like shooting around Christmas and her getting the crew like lots of eggnog and like just making it fun. And like between takes, she would play music, which doesn't happen with every director. And it was just like, that's almost my favorite time working with her, because she just makes it this party and you're like excited to go into work and have her do that. Also, I just love that Grace, by the way, brings lots of women behind the camera in the way that we do, and gives them the opportunity to direct, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I was just going to say a strong voice. Woman like her getting behind the camera and actually directing is just awesome to see, and must make all the women on the set just feel so comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's going to be, I hope that I always have the experience that I have right now, which is when you go onto another set, like I'm so used to seeing so many women in every job behind the camera. I can't imagine anything different, but I know that it actually still is really rare. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're really lucky on our show.
Yeah.
Jean Bland.
Yes. The queen. Okay. This is what Rhea thought I was going to bring up. So okay. This is going back. I absolutely love the Will and Kate Lifetime movie.
Oh my God, I love this.
She so really like, loves it. Really
like
loves
I,
it.
Like I per- when it came out, I purchased it on iTunes. No. I watched it like all yeah. the time. I had yeah. it all the time. Like okay. I just was absolutely obsessed with, and it was so funny because, you know, it's like my friends and the wedding happened and everyone, I'd be like, no guys, you have to watch the Will and Kate Lifetime movie. And they're like,
this is more important than the world.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't need to like pay attention to the real stuff. Yeah, just watch the Lifetime movie. It's so funny. Like, do you laugh now looking back to be like, wow, I got to play Kate Middleton.
I think even back then I was like laughing that I was playing Kate Middleton, because it was just like, it was such a, first off, like, you know, that was one of my first jobs out here, and to like be in this like amazing cheesy Lifetime movie that was like part of the celebration of the time, it was just so fun. We got to like go back to London and be there the week of the wedding, and it was like, it just kind of felt like we were part of it. Like I was waiting for my royal invitation that like never came.
Yeah.
I think that that's like one of the things that like when Hayden's a little bit older, that will be like the one thing I let her watch for it. Cause it's just so funny. But those Lifetime movies are crazy. I mean, I don't know if people know this, but like you shoot that whole thing in like 3 weeks. It's like it's shot super fast. But I've run into my Prince William Nico a few times, and I'm like, Nico, William, you know, he's sweet. I love him. It was just a really fun experience. I mean, it's super cheesy. I love that you love it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in like, I probably haven't seen it since it aired.
I won't admit the last time I watched it, because it was
this week.
It was not that long ago. Well, you know, there's obviously a lot going on with the royal family right now. So
I know my friend texts me, she goes, are you up for this sequel?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
That is so funny. So no, yeah, because we've been talking about it so much. We've been talking about it so much that in my mind, I'm like, that's like a comfort zone, because the conversations around what's going on right now they're very serious. They're very important. Wow. And like, and so when I'm like, you know what, I just want to go back to when I just was obsessed with Kate and Will.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch, and not even watch like the actual wedding, like watch the Lifetime movie.
We don't even get to the wedding in the movie.
Yeah,
we get
exactly.
Like, green screen proposal.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love that you love it. Yeah.
I know. When we found out you were coming on, I said to Rhea, I was like, I can't wait to ask her about the Lifetime movie. She was like, Fran, why do you care about this so much?
I was almost going to steal the question. Like I like had it down and I was like, I might just ask it, but I waited for Fran. I knew it was coming.
Thank you.
You know what's so funny is I literally get asked about that almost every single interview. It's like something that will just always be with me.
Right. And probably now, right? Probably now, because it's so, everybody's talking about the royal family. They want to talk to you about it.
Well, not even now. I mean, like, even just like in every, you know, every season, I'm always, someone always says like, so you were Kate Middleton. Oh, yeah. But yes, I imagine now. Yes. That's gone down this week. So maybe they'll bring it up more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you haven't watched it, I highly recommend. It's quite enjoyable. And if you are a Lifetime movie fan, this like totally.
I love Lifetime movies.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't watch my own, but like I'm a huge Lifetime movie fan too.
Yeah. No, they're amazing. So Camilla, thank you so much for joining us. Gotta make sure you are watching Grey's Anatomy live Thursday nights on ABC at 9 o'clock, because let me tell you, if you don't watch live, You're going to miss some big events.
I'm telling you that there are big, big events to come. It doesn't stop this season. And I've been warning people and I feel like slowly maybe they're finally believing me. So yes,
gotta catch up. Up,
everyone. Yeah. You got to catch up.
I got to catch up. I got to catch up.
Got to catch up. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We're going to stop this outro right now so we can get it uploaded to you as fast as possible. Thank you guys for understanding that we needed to get this done today. Yesterday, we tried. Like I said, 5 hours. Just didn't happen. But we love you guys, and we'll talk to you for the Bachelor finale recap on Wednesday, and Trent will be back.